Okay, so we're talking about relationships. Turn to someone and say relationship. Okay, let's say it together. God is good. God is good. All the time. People are good. All the time. You can take the banner down, thanks. Take it down, it's fine. Okay, so we're talking about relationships. And last week when we introduced this this subject, we saw that, you know, every problem we have in life, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, it goes right back to Genesis 3. That is a long way back. But it all kind of goes back to those days. And we focused on three things. In Genesis 3, we looked at when Adam and Eve sinned, it caused shame. And what happens when in our life when things don't go right and that kind of stuff, we feel that shame. And then the next thing that happened to them, because they sinned and they felt shame, they hid themselves. Because when God went for a walk to catch up with them and have their nightly chat, he couldn't find them. And they were hiding. And he said, why were you hiding? They said, we were fearful. So when sin entered into the human race, there was shame and there was that hiding. And then God said to Adam, what have you done? He said, it was a woman. And then the woman blamed the snake. And then the snake, as we said, never had a leg to stand on. So I think we've got so used to over the years of this whole concept, and it helped, and it doesn't help in our relationships, because there's always that shame and that hiding of ourselves and from others and from God and blaming. So today we're going to go up a level, and I'm going to speak on this subject, relationship, for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And everyone that hears it, I just really hope it helps you in your relationships, at work, at home, wherever you are, it can help you in your relational world. So today, I'm really going to encourage the man and the woman. Who's a man here today? Who's a woman? Yeah, men, put their hands up as well. And we look at the world today, and even though I kind of said a bit of a pun, it's not that far from what the world's trying to say. That today's man's purpose, or humankind's purpose, has been blurred. But I believe that God's purpose is still clear. Amen? Amen. Standing true. Look at this, Isaiah 40 and verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. So whatever God has said, he keeps on saying, and it's there forever. The word of God stands forever. Community, thinking, culture changes with whatever women fancy people have, but the word of God, which is our barometer, which is our foundation, which is our culture, that is what we base our beliefs and our relationships on. Even Peter, in 1 Peter, pick this up again, in 1 Peter 24:25, it says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And what's it saying? Even the best of us, it fades, and the grass withers, and the flower falls away. Ever gone to your garden and seen a beautiful flower? Oh, it's so nice. I went to my son's place a few weeks ago and you had beautiful roses. I love roses. And, you know, I buy roses for my wife, but I buy them for me. I just love roses. And you might say, you're one of those precious men. Yeah, I am. I love roses. But a few days later, it's gone. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't last forever. But it says the word of God. Come on, church. The word of God. The word of God, say it with me, the word of God lasts forever. It doesn't change. the standards and the power and the principles remain the same forever in Jesus' name. So let's talk about men for a while. And this is helpful for women as well. Don't go to sleep. Okay, so what age do men, have I said that right? At what age do men become men? Never. Emily, can you just escort my wife out of here? Yeah. And Desmond? Put her on the next bus to Iran. So, when do men become men? And if you look in the Jewish world, it's 13. Come on, be serious now. No more joking. So in the Jewish world, it's 13. That's when a boy becomes a man. But for us, is, what is it, 18? 18? 21? Bit of discrepancy, 13, 18, 21. And as my wife said, for some, never. And I think that may be a good question, but what is a better question? What defines a man? Are you hearing me? What defines a man? Now, go for a journey with me. In the 1950s and in the 1960s, you've got different categories over the generations of what defined a man. So in the 50s and 60s, the key trait was the silent man. Men were taught to work hard, to provide, to endure. Rarely emotions were looked upon. And if there was emotions, you look at that person and think that person is weak. And that was in the 50s and 60s. And it was kind of, who remembers movies? John Wayne. So that was the person they looked at for their community standard. John Wayne, apparently, he portrayed strength, he portrayed courage, responsible and reliant. And the men that we had in the 50s after the Second World War, they were the silent men. They didn't say much, but they just got on with it. Didn't show much emotion, they just got on with it. In the 1970s and the 1990s, the key trait was success and achievement. And that was where a lot of the multinational businesses, pioneers, came up with new business and that kind of stuff. That was the era of the mega church. And in this one, men were taught to be ambitious and independent. Okay? Their identity was tied to their career, to what they had, to their accomplishments. And the motto was, make something of your life, or make something of yourself. And I remember back in those days, Nike, what was it? Just do it. Just do it. And I had that on the back of my door on the church. Just do it. That was the mentality in the 70s and the 90s. And I remember through the 80s, that was very much a part of my life. Success, achievement. And then we go to 2000 to now. And the key trait that's kind of permeating now is the sensitive man. Okay. And so men are taught to express their feelings and be vulnerable. But if you become from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s and the 90s, and now we're taught, trying to teach us to be sensitive, it's a bit of a hard transition for someone who's lived through the others. But this is the trait that's been emphasized. So there's a big emphasis on mental health, and you know that, and on personal health. And so the emphasis, be open, be authentic, and that's what we see in our society today. So I hope that was helpful. And I think men today, we can lose our way a bit. And there's this thought that sit on a couch, we don't need your strength anymore because we have machinery. We don't need your wisdom anymore because we can go to ChatGPT. And we just type, we don't need you, we don't need your wisdom. And we don't need your time. The kids can play on the PlayStation. And so there's different things that are happening in our society today. It's like Homer Simpson. He said, nobody needs me, I'll go and hide in the bushes. Oh, no one needs me, I'll go and hide in the shed. Whatever you want. But I want to declare today, and I hope this really encourages men and women today. I just want to encourage you today that men are in God's plan and purpose. And I want to declare today that women are in the plan and purpose of God. There's something about men and women, and we've got to get back to the Word of God and find our grassroots of what God and how God sees us. We doing okay? Okay. I'm having a bit of a rant, then I'll settle down. Okay. I will not sit back in this crazy culture and be dictated to about fluid gender. Okay? Or trying to redefine sexuality. I believe the Word of God strongly defines what a man is and what a woman is. I get embarrassed on TV when someone's asking some political person, you know, define what a woman is, and they can't. Oh, they can, but they won't. Well, what is a man? What is it? Go and look in the mirror. My golly gosh. How close to brain dead can people be and still breathe? Sorry, I'm looking at you. Okay. You see, if you want to fix a car that is broken, you go to the manufacturer. I've got an old Toyota Hilux, and it needs a lot of tender care. And I don't know much about it, so I go to AI chat, which always tells you half truth, and I'll kind of look, and sometimes it does help. So I've got to go to the Toyota manufacturer that actually made that car and tell them what my problem is, and they tell me how to fix it. I believe today that this is God's handbook for us. That if something's broken, he can show us how to fix it or how to make adjustments in life. Do you believe that? So I believe that God designed us, so God defines us. Nobody else. And mankind started in the heart and the mind of God. So what I want to refer to for the next few moments is how God saw man in Genesis 1 and 2. And I'm not here to beat anyone. I'm a man. You're a man. You're a woman. We're all in this together. And if we can get some clear guidelines from the Word of God, it may help us to put our shoulders back a bit, put our head a bit taller, and say, I am a man. And a woman can say, I am a... I am a woman. Okay. Number one, God formed man. You look in Genesis chapter 1 and God formed man. He shaped man. He fashioned man. And God created us for a purpose. And we see here, I just want to look at a few more verses before that one, Jamie, but leave it there. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 28, it says this, then God said, let us make man in our own image. God said that right at the beginning. Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. And he says, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps. You've got some creeps in your life? You have dominion over them in Jesus' name. Everything that creeps on the earth. And we may not so much have dominion over fish and all that kind of stuff, and our lives are a bit different, but on the things that have been created within our life, God says, man, I've shaped you that you can have dominion over them, that you are controlling them. What has been created is not controlling you. Makes sense. So we're not controlled by a house or our or our cars and that kind of stuff. Things have been created. We're not controlled by them. They're our tools, as it were. And then the verse 27. So God created man in his what? Own image. In the image of God, he created him. He made the male and female. What did he make? That's it. Then God blessed them. Isn't that great news? And he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Here we have again, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then we come to this one. So that was God's intention, that he would make man in his own image. And then it says this, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Got some dust together. The head, ears, nose, hands, feet. He formed it. And then he breathed in his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. That's the roots of that we came from. We were formed, we were fashioned in the image and likeness of God, not so much in the outward looks, but in the character and the emotion, the things that form a human. And he says, he breathed into it, and it became a living being. I love that bit where it says, and the Lord God formed man, shaped by God. Now look in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he placed man, whom he formed, in the garden. So God shaped us, breathed into us the breath of life, and then he placed us in the garden, or in the place where you are now. So we were formed and shaped by God. Why? Because God had a purpose for us. And I just want to run through these. And the first one is to work faithfully. Before Adam sinned, there was work. People think that work came because of sin. No, work got harder because of sin. But even in Genesis 1 and 2, God was thinking and creating work for man to do even before the fall. Even before he had a wife or any responsibilities, he had a job. Genesis 2:5. Before any plant of the field, 2:5. Okay, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, listen to this, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the earth. So what does that mean? Even before God created the plants and that kind of stuff, he was thinking, when I create this, I'm going to need someone to look after it. I'm going to need them. There was no man to till, to care, to cultivate the ground. And then in chapter 2 and verse 7, we go back to it again. And the Lord God formed, shaped man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. Then we go to 2:15, and it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it. Was in his mind, then man came, God created the plants and everything. Then he put man in there to tend it and to keep it. So Adam had to tend and guard what God had trusted to Adam in the garden. And those words there mean that Adam had to be diligent. What's diligence mean? Someone help me? Stick at it? Yeah, just be diligent. Just do the best you can. Maybe that way. Productive. Faithful. And it seems like that Adam embraced his responsibility. This was even before sin had entered into the world. God placed man in the garden that he could look after it, that he could prune the vines properly, that he could pick the fruit. There wasn't any weeds, so it all had to do with productivity and produce. So the Garden of Eden was perfect, but there's work for Adam to do. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because people think that God's ultimate is we don't have to work. God's ultimate is that you do work. Are you hearing me? You know, if you're retired, you're retired, but I'm talking in general terms. Man is meant and made for productivity. Even before sin was there, work was there. But what was different before the fall is work was easier. After the fall, it became a bit more frustrating. There was conflict and it was hard and there was weeds and the ground didn't produce like it used to produce because of the curse that came on the earth. Before there was a garden to tend, God created a man to work it. It's not about a job, a title, or achievements. It's about productivity. What am I trying to say? A man without a purpose drifts. A man with a purpose flourishes. And I just want to encourage each one of you guys today, man or woman, man, if you haven't got a purpose, you'll drift. But if you've got something to live for, you flourish. And people say, oh, John, why don't you retire and that kind of stuff? No, I've still got stuff to live for. I've still got to mow my lawn. I've still got to trim my hedges. Still got to pastor a church. I get to pastor a church. There's so much living to do, and as much as I have breath and do what I can do, I will do it, because if I don't, I will drift. If I have a purpose, I will flourish. And you've got to find that purpose in your own life. Doing something productive, meaningful. We've got my friend here, Rosa. How many days a week you volunteer at the Salvos? 3? You know, if she didn't have that, she'd probably stay at home and annoy her husband. But she's, man, I've got to do something. And whether that's your housework or whatever you do, each one of us has got to find an area of productivity, because it's part of our welfare. It's part of God's plan and purpose. Is this making sense today? Okay, find a job you like. Who's ever had a job they liked? Men and women. Who's ever had a job they didn't like? Yeah, well, you've got to change it or make yourself like it. Are you here? And if you can't find satisfaction at home, come around and mow my lawn. God will bless you as you do that. You've got to find something productive. Or come and serve in the house of God. Find something productive that it just empowers you and helps you and increases your, I've got something to live for. Does that sound good? Some people say, I don't want to work. You know, the government will look after me. Well, if you're retired, they jolly well should. If you can't work, they should look after you. I'm all for that. But basically, on average, we need to. It's part of what God made us for, to be productive for our lives and for our mental health and our emotions that we live for in Jesus' name. Okay, created for purpose. What was that? To work. Number 2 was, listen to this, to walk with God. So I just hope it's helping men and women here today, so we can get a basic idea of what's the guidelines that I'm supposed to live in? Well, you're supposed to work. Find something to do. If you can't find something to do, come and see me and you can help me do what I do. Yeah, there's always something to do. And so number, how many have I done now? 1? Oh, whatever you're up to, I'll do my own numbers. Okay, the purpose was walk with God. Walk with God. Man, I want to tell you, God wants to walk with you. God used to come down in the cool of the evening and have fellowship with Adam. And I just want to encourage you guys today and girls, Adam enjoyed fellowship with God in the garden, in the place where he was. And I just want to encourage you, in the place where you are, God wants to have fellowship. And it's interesting, even before he had a wife, a family, or a responsibility, he had a relationship with God. And I just want to encourage men today, breathe into you again. Hey, let's develop this relationship with God. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Because there was that broken fellowship, because they disobeyed God, there was that broken fellowship. But I want to tell you today, through Jesus Christ, that fellowship is restored again. And we have the opportunity to walk with God in our daily lives. Does that mean every day I feel him? No, it's just walking with that awareness that God is in my life. Amen? Men, our greatest strength is our reliance upon the Lord. Now, if I was to ask men here today, do you know the Lord? Yeah, we all do, at a certain level. And it's a journey to get him know him more. Who's been married more than 10 years? Do you know your spouse? Yeah, sure you do. There's always something that pops out that you didn't know. And it's the same with God. You may know him, but there's always something new that he wants to share with you. It's an ongoing fellowship, relationship with God. Don't let that overwhelm you and say, oh, I'm not like such and such. You don't need to be like such and such. We've got one of them. We need you to walk with God. Just like Adam did. Adam did. Just like Noah did. Got up every day. What am I going to do today? Oh, yeah, build an ark. Chop, 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 chop. Preach, oh, you tell people the Lord. Chop, chop, chop. Go to bed, get up next. What am I going to do today? I'm going to build an ark. And I just believe that each one of us, we're building something. We're building something in our lives. We're building, you know, for our families. We're building for our, you know, for our future, spiritually, economically. We're doing something. Never lose sight of that. And here for Adam, relationship with God. Genesis 1:27, man was made in the likeness to reflect God's likeness. Made in the image of God. Come on, guys, just chill out a bit. Don't let the devil condemn you and say, well, you're not like this and that kind of stuff, or you're not perfect. Hey, just get up every day and say, Jesus, can you help me today? One step at a time. Number four. Okay, made for purpose. You get this one, to take initiative. So we've got man was shaped by God, was to work, was to have a relationship with God, and the next one is to take initiative. Initiative. Look at this, 2:19 and 20. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. Here it is. Every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Where did God get them? Out of the ground, God formed them. Birds. And brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So God was leaving this initiative with Adam. I'm bringing them to you. Now you name them. What does God bring to us that we need to grab hold of a name? Initiative. And they brought them down to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. How's that? Thousands of animals, they came, yeah, oh, yeah, wait here. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So God brought the animals to Adam, but he had to act on it. He just couldn't say, just let me just finish playing this game for a while. Or just let me finish doing something else. Or just let me. No, he brought him to him and he took initiative. Okay. Any procrastinators here? Now, you wouldn't tell me anyway, would you? Tell me tomorrow. So, but he had to act. He had to step up and do it. So a rhino comes in front of him. He says, rhino. Orangutan comes before him. I think I'll call that funny thing orangutan. Then there's a zebra come. I think you're a zebra. Black and white. Like one of those crossings. Animal with a big long neck. You look very giraffe-y. Giraffe. And then something else came and said, I don't know. Oh, well, I'll call you. I'll call you a numbat. And then a little thing came to him. I think I'll call you a corker. Where did he get these names from? And then something else. He said, I think I'll call you a little monkey. And whatever he wanted to name them, he named them. But in the end, he kind of ran out of names. He looked around, dog, cat, pig. He ran out of creative names. So that's what they were. But whatever he called them, that's what they were. Created to take initiative. And I just want to encourage you guys, whatever's in front, girls and boys, whatever, men and women, whatever's in front of you, hey, if it's there and you can do it, take initiative. Are you hearing me? Take initiative. This is the purpose why man was made. Number five, he protects what's mattered. Aren't you glad I haven't got 85 of these? Protects what matters. And all these are found in Genesis 2, before the fall. And I believe it gives us a good idea of what God expects of mankind. Protect what matters. 2:15, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Adam was to protect and make safe what was given to him. Hey, man, look at me. Be a safe man. Hear me? Be safe. When people walk around you, yeah, they're safe. And I look around here and say, man, a lot of men, safe men. Who knows what I'm talking about? Safe. Protect us. And Adam was to protect, make safe what was given to him, to keep guard and watch over and protect. He wasn't to be a passive person that avoids the difficult in life. He wasn't, he doesn't have to kind of, you know, be angry and that kind of stuff. Just take responsibility. Adam is often seen as becoming passive in Genesis 3. Can we see that in Genesis 3? Passive, passive. What does passive mean? We see wrong, we don't do anything about it. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sees wrong, whatever. See, Adam, he was present when the serpent tempted Eve, but he didn't say anything. He shut up. He didn't step in, he didn't speak up or protect what God had entrusted to him. And man, I know you already do it, but men are called to protect their faith. Come on, we stand firm on the word of God. We protect our family, our marriage and our values. And as I bring this to a close, man is to value relationships. God gave him a helper that was comparable to him. Hey, interesting. God brought all the animals to him, and they came to him in twos. Okay? Male and female kangaroo, male and female monkey, male and female, what else we got? Giraffe, male and female elephant. And you're sitting there by himself, and you're thinking, all these people have got mates, and I haven't got one. So God maybe got Adam to name all the animals, and they came to him where he became aware, hey, I need a mate. I need someone that's going to be with me and I can live life with. And then God heard his desire, saw the desire that he put in his heart anyway. And what did God do? He opened up Adam's ribs, chest, and he took out a rib. And he formed that into a woman. And we have these stories today that men have less ribs than women. Who's heard that? That's not true. We've all got the same amount, whether you're man or female, and that kind of stuff. God just did an operation. The next generation had all the ribs, but he formed a woman. And he took her from here. He didn't take him from his foot so the wound would be under his foot. He didn't take him from his head so the wound would be over his head. He took him from his rib so the woman would be beside him. And they could walk in companionship and help and strengthen each other through life in Jesus' name. I believe the biblical man is to, hear me, you're shaped by God. Do something productive. Walk with God. value the things that matter. And let's have some good relationships and friendships in Jesus' name. Hey, I just think it gives you a good framework to live in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Let's stand together.